Title of the shir is, Does God Give Up on Man After the Mabul? Okay, so let's read a little bit here. This is after the Mabul, after the flood. Torah tells us in Perek Ches, V'adibir Elkim El Noach Limor, Hashem says to Noach, Tzemi Na Teva, Tav Yishchav V'necha, Yishchav V'necha Yitach. Leave the ark, leave the Teva, you and your wife and your children, and the wives of your children with you. Any wild animal that's with you, from the animals, any flesh, birds, animals, anything that crawls on the ground, take him out with you and populate the land. So Noah, his children, his wife, the wives of his children go out with him. So, and all the animals leave with him. Pasuk Chaf. Vayivan Noach Mizbeach Hashem. Noach builds an altar for Hashem. Vayikach mikol habehema Torah mikol ofa Torah v'yal olas b'mizbeach. And he takes from the pure animals and the pure birds, basically the kosher animals, the kosher birds. V'yal olas b'mizbeach. He brings burnt offerings on the altar. Vayorach Hashem esreach nichoch. And Hashem smelled, as it were, the beautiful fragrance. Vayomar Hashem libo, and Hashem said to his heart, as it were, Lo usif lekalel odes adama bavor adam. I will no longer curse the ground because of mankind. Ki yetzer lev ha'adam raminu rav. Because the, how would you translate that? Yetzer lev ha'adam raminu rav. How would you translate that? Ki yetzer lev ha'adam raminu rav. Anyone?
Evil inclination.
Because man's, what?
Heart. From the youth of birth.
From youth, so man's inclination, the heart, the heart of man, or the inclination of man, is bad from his youth. And I won't continue to smite all living things as I have done in the past. It says, Old Kol Yumei Aretz, Zerah V'Katsha V'Chom V'Kor V'Chom V'Kaitz V'Chor V'Yom V'Laila Lo Yishbosu. So all the days of the land, the planting, the harvesting, the cold, the warm, summer, winter, day and night, will not cease. So basically, why does Hashem say he's not going to destroy the world? Because Yetzer Lev HaAdam Rami Nurav. What does that mean?
So man, that a person automatically has, certain Yetzer Hara.
So man is Yetzer Hara. So what's God basically saying?
It's not man's fault.
It's not man's fault. Okay, it's not man's fault. I can't, what, is that what you're saying?
No, he's saying,
it's human nature.
I was expecting too much.
In other words, right. In other words, on the surface, it seems that maybe God's like, what can you do? Nebuch, I thought, man, I had high hopes for man. After all, I created him. But it seems that he's just not as good as I thought he would be. After all, I'm the all-knowing God, but he's just not living up to expectations. So, oh well, what can I do? That's what it seems like. Now, what's interesting, by the way, there is, at the end of, and I guess, right, in other words, so the first question, I guess, is like, why is the youthful evil inclination a reason not to destroy the world? Now, what's interesting is you're basically saying, Nebuch, man's, he can't help himself, so therefore I'm not going to destroy him. What's fascinating is, if you go to last week's Parsha, then to last week's Parsha, was the Torah saying, Perek Vav, Pesukim Hei Dezayim, Vayar Hashem, and Hashem saw, Ki Rabah Ras Adam Baretz, that the evil of man was great, V'chol Yetzer Machshvos Libo Rak Ra Kol Hayom, and all of his evil, the thoughts of his heart, are just bad all day. And Hashem regretted that, as it were, that he created man in the land, and he was saddened to his heart.
Yeah, if Hashem is all-knowing, right, why was he surprised?
Right. So it could be the Torah is speaking, that's why I like to say as it were. The Torah is speaking as if, as allegorically, just saying that this was, there was this ideal plan, and man was so bad that it was as if God was a human being, he would say, why did I do this? I actually gave a drush about this once, the power of regret, and maybe actually wants to teach you that, that even to regret something is divine, which is really a separate topic. But a lot of this is more like allegorical. It's Bederech Mashal by way of a parable. What's interesting, though, is God decides to destroy man because why? He's got a Yetzer Hara. So, like, what changed? Like he said, he decides. I mean, it's a little bit different, right? Perek Vav Pasuk Hey is a little bit different than Perek Ches Pasuk Chav Aleph, right? In Enabracious, he sees that all of the Yetzer, all of his desires are just bad. So therefore, it's a reason to destroy. And now, after the flood, you know what? Actually, it's not a reason to destroy. Like, what happened? What's the difference? Can you sort of look closely at these two psukim? Is there a little bit of a difference?
Raminu Rog.
So right. So there's a difference that in Bereishis, it's just that man is generally, he's got this evil inclination. And then in after the flood, he's like, it's Raminu Rav. So does that make a difference? Right? So we have to try to understand this a little bit. So I'm gonna sort of give with you two different approaches as to how we understand what happened after the flood. Why does, and it's a question, does God really give up on man after the flood? So what you've been suggesting until now is that basically he did. What could I do? And originally he said, I'm going to destroy man because he has a Yetzer Hara, he has evil inclination, that's the reason why he's being destroyed. And after the flood, he's like...
But why didn't God know that before?
I understand. That's right. Okay, so he created the power of the tree, but I understand. But does that mention that here? I'm reading the text here. I'm reading the text. The text says that he decides to destroy man because Yetzer Machshavos Libo Rak Rak Kol Hayom. And then he says, but in his youth, then he says after the flood, I'm not going to destroy him because Yetzer Lev Hadam Rami Nerav. He's Yetzer Horror all the way from his youth. So I think there are two different, let me share with you two different approaches, okay? Let's first start with the Sfardo. There's at the end of the day, it's really an important question. Because the question is, how does God view us? Does he view us, okay, we're never human beings, what can I do? So the truth is, the Sfardo, that's basically what some of you suggested. The Sfardo says, Yetzer Lev Hadam Ra, Ki Bios HaMazagin Mikan Ve'elech Pchusim Me'asher Hoyu Kodim HaMabul. Now, I don't fully understand this, but what he says is that, like, the temperature, the climate after the flood was different, was not as strong, was weaker than before the Mabul. I have no clue what that means. I mean, I don't know. Isn't one of you like climate change? There was climate change. Okay, there was climate change after the Mabul. So based on this climate change, the Sfardo says, Lo ya'ir bahem hakoch hasichli minu urehem kavari shona. He says that the intellect, right? You have the animalistic tendencies and the intellect, right? There's always this tension between your desires and the intellect, right? Isn't that the plot of every single movie out there? The tension between your heart and your brain, right? It's the tension of every movie. Okay, I don't know. But so here he's saying that after the flood, so then because of the nature of the change, so then our koach hasichli, our intellect, was not as strong as it was beforehand. Ba'ofen sheyiskomem lemitaveh hamitgaber olav midurav, in a manner that you can overcome your bad desires. So basically, what the Sfardo basically says is, after the flood, we weren't great beforehand. After the flood, our desires got our koach hasichli, our intellectual powers, even diminish more, our capacity to be strong-willed and to overcome our impulses became even weaker. So God sort of instead had pity on us. Okay, so that's one approach. It's not the most exciting approach, but that's one approach. Okay, but I want to share with you the Ramban. Ramban points out that after the flood, what did God say? Yetzer Lev Adam Ra Minu Rav. What do you think that means? That man has a Yetzer Hara Minu Rav from his youth. So what could that mean? What?
You could outgrow it.
You could outgrow it.
Well, when you're a little baby, it's about feed me. Right. You know, it's change. You know, you're totally selfish because you need everything from everyone else.
Right. So in other words, right. So the Ramban says, I brought you a few pieces from this Ramban here. The Ramban in Perachah Pasuk Chavalev, he says, V'yomar Shem Alibo, Hashem said to his heart, as it were, but Kasher Hikriv Noach Korbano, when he brought the Korban, and Ola Leratzon, Lefanav Leratzon, V'gadol Shel Yosef Lakos Eskolchai, and he decided he's not going to smite any living creature. V'tam B'davar, and the reason for this, says the Ramban, Bavur Adam, Ki Bavuro Nenshu, right, because he said the whole world was. So one thing he says, why should the ground be punished, as it were? Because it was punished because of man. Vim adam lo chata, hayu heim nitzolim. I guess the creatures would have been saved. Al v'shishchisu gam heim estarkam. So basically, it was because of man that the world was destroyed. Fine. But then he says, Yetzer lev adam rab min harav. Melamed aleim schus. Hashem was melamed, he justified their behavior. She yitzira sam betoldas ra'a bimei ha-ne'urim v'lo bimei ha-zikna. It's what Noah was saying, it's what David was saying, that their creations, they start off in their youth. They engage perhaps in inappropriate behaviors. They have their impulse, they're driven by their impulses when they're young. Velobi mayazik na, but not as they get older, hopefully. Vim Kane, if so, Ain La Coast is Kol Chai. You shouldn't wipe out people and living nay shnei atam ma'ila because of these two reasons. I'm only focusing on the reason that basically what does the Ramban say? Ramban basically said you shouldn't punish the earth for the sins of man, but also man can outgrow his sinful urges. And Kli Yakar says the same thing. Kliyakar says, "Lo sifal lekalas adam b'avorda v'amofes hazaki." But Dora Mabel, what does it say? By Dora Mabel, v'chol yetzer machshav sibo rak kol hayom. So was it better or worse, like before the flood? So they said that before the generation of the flood, they're saying kol hayom all day. In other words, they were just bad the whole time. Rotzalovar holech v'gara miyom liyom. So basically, the generation of the flood, they're getting worse and worse each and every day. So again, this is stuff which is beyond my pay grade. He says, it's because of the material of the land, not based on the intellect of man. Generally, you're wiser as you get older. Why, when someone is to get older, regret their, the bad things they did? I'm not in my chomer levad si basa asi shaper. So again, Kli Yakar has this theory, like the Sfardo, that maybe the way the earth was, that the climate, they say sometimes when it's really hot, people get more annoyed. That's what they say somewhere in the Middle East. People are generally getting more annoyed because it's always hot. I don't know. But the point being that he has this whole like theory about the atmosphere affecting the climate, and then he says achar hamabul shenitar chomer aretz. After the mabul, a few lines down, that the material of the land was more purified. Ain litlo sachet ki im b'yitzahara misgaver b'yosi b'mein naroso aval kiyasken yifkach ain sichlo v'lo yishul l'kisla. So Kli Yakar basically says that he's actually said the exact opposite of the Sfardo. He says that after the mabul, because of the climate change, because how the earth was, so it wasn't as bad. And as you got older, you would regret, you'd mature, and you would outgrow the sinful impulses of your youth. But
quick question. The fact that man is made from earth, is that...
Okay, so it's upstate. So that's it's part of man, right? Part of man is animalistic and
wall scraping cell. The land was changing.
The land changed. Does that affect man? I don't know. I'm not sure. And I don't know. I can't speak to the science of this. But so there are really two ways you could look at this. You could look at this as saying the Sfarno basically takes the view that God looked at man and he says, "Man, nebuch, there's no hope for you. rock, kol hayom." And then he says, okay, you're not going to get any better. After the flood, it's going to get even worse. He says, from your youth until you get old. And so what can I do? Okay, that's man, and I have to pity on you. Rabban says that, and the Kli Yakar basically says, after the flood, God says, listen, man has this Yetzer Hara in his youth. Okay? He has this Yetzer Hara in his youth. But he can outgrow it. He can outgrow his impulse. I'm not going to destroy the world because man is sinning. Because he can outgrow his impulses and be better and do better. But I want to know, when did God say that he's not going to destroy the world? What happened beforehand? He told man, leave the teva. He tells man, leave the teva. And then something happens.
Korban.
It means a korban. Right. In other words, we got to go through the steps here. So let's work with the Ramban. And God said, I'm not going to destroy man. He can outgrow his impulses. But what happens? He tells him, leave the Teva, leave the Ark. And then Noach, what does he do? He builds a Mizbeach. He offers a sacrifice. God, as it were, smells the beautiful aroma, and then he makes this statement, not going to destroy the world. So was this like a nice bribe or something, like the korban, it kind of like buttered God up or something? What's the relationship, or is there a relationship between man bringing a korban and God's decision not to destroy the world? So look at Rav David Tzvi Hoffman. He's not the only one who says this. But he makes the point. He says, Zo hapam rishona sha'adam bona mizbeach la'Hashem. This is the first time that man builds an altar to Hashem. I know you can say that kain hevel, but we're going to see for a second. Let's read a little bit. Mizbeach zeh. We're saying a mizbeach. This is the first time that man built a mizbeach. What's a mizbeach? Humakom. What does it say here? Mukvab. It's a raised platform. Why do you offer a sacrifice on a mizbeach on a raised platform? Aliyah elav ohalat hakorban elav marab. So the fact that you bring something up, an ola is completely burnt, completely goes to God. Mara al shifato shel adam klapei shamayim. It demonstrates man's yearning towards heaven. Hadam vakeis li karev el boro. Man yearns to draw close to his creator. By offering a sacrifice on an elevated structure, it's like you're yearning to be one with God. Therefore, the sacrifice of Noah is called an ola. He says, kain and hevel. What kain hevel bring? Not an ola. What do they bring?
Fruit.
What's it called in Torah? A mincha. Korban shebel esamel et hakarat tumbo yisparach. What's a mincha? Thank you very much, Hashem. A mincha is thank you so much. It's hakaras atof. It's wonderful too. But Noach lumatam mevi ola. Noach brings an ola. Korban a ola belavas esh shemayim in a fire that goes up to heaven. Simlo shela makriv hu. The symbolism of the one who brings the sacrifice. Who tzarich larot et hashifa. And he has to show his yearning. Lakdish is chayim lo yitbarach. And as you are demonstrating, when you bring an ola, like which goes up to God, everything consumed going to God, it reflects your yearning to dedicate, to sanctify your life to God. Uletar atzmo letzoref atzmo. To purify yourself, to refine yourself, al yedei ha'esh elokit, by way of the divine fire. And just to add a piece of this, so in other words, Noah brings this ola before God makes his statement. The ola is this demonstration of Noah's desire, your yearning to dedicate his life to God. And then what does it say? God smells. I mean, what do you mean God smells? Then you can tell me God doesn't smell. Right? You can tell me that, right? Okay. I mean, I don't mean that he doesn't smell. He doesn't smell. God does not. So what's the imagery of God smelling a beautiful fragrance? What is that trying to convey to us? So the Ketava Kabbalah says Vayarach Hashem Perush. What does it mean? Nitratzeh Hashem. God was appeased. Umatzah chen lefanav, and he found favor before him. Hachefetz v'ratzon auv, the desire and the beloved, you know, the beloved desire. Shemach shevet hamakriv, that the thought of the one who brings the sacrifice, hayol l'ratzon, should be pleasing lifnei Hashem, before God. Uchvi chafetz halyon, and like the desire of God. Hinei avagdolah hazot hamityaledet b'mach shevet hamakriv, that the great love that is born in the thought of the one who brings the sacrifice, udveikut eloka, and the clinging to God, hamitchadeshet b'cheftzo, that is renewed with his desire. Ritzono be'et hakravat korbano. When you bring a korban ola, it's a desire to connect to God, right? Who hanikra l'dati reach nichoach? He says that's reach nichoach. Reach nichoach, a beautiful aroma. That's what you get when you have your desire to connect to God. Because he says the following: ki aktuvim yechanu maase adam upulatov b'shem pri. He says the psukim give, I guess, nicknames to the actions of man by the name of a fruit. Kamom pri maleim yochelu, the fruit of their actions they will eat. Mi pri pi ish yisbe. So the Torah, very often Tanakh refers to our behavior as pri. V'chein shem tam shorotah b'chinat hamar v'matok yisham shubol arot chavchanat hadat k'mo tamur kitov. He says when you say we taste we're tasting things for God, or we're Tamu taste the Torah. That means an understanding. When you taste something, you're like, you, is this good, is this bad? When you taste the Torah, what does it mean, the imagery? That, like, is it good, is it bad? Right? But he says, Kamo Shachech, the tongue, Yavchin bitimat ha-machil, ha-machal, kacha yaskil ha-secha v'askala b'achshava. When you're thinking about something, you're tasting it, you're appreciating it. But then he says, V'chafetz ha-ratzon mechuna b'shem reyach. Desire is like an aroma, is like smelling. Ki hityachatzut ratzon adam v'cheftzo ha-masav polatov, ki hityachatzut ha-reyach el-apri. Just like when you smell a fruit, why do you smell a fruit? You smell a fruit, you love it, you want to get close to the fruit. You feel a connection to the fruit. Oh, what a beautiful fragrance this fruit emits. So I wanna draw close to this fruit. And he says so the aroma that you have, smelling the beautiful fragrance of the fruit, reflects your desire to enjoy the fruit. And what's nichoach? He says, what's nichoach? Nichoach is like we're nicha. Noah, beautiful, right? Nachat ruach. So the Ketav Kabbalah says that vayorach reach nichoach is God's response to man offering a korban ola, burnt offering, reflecting his desire to elevate himself, to sanctify himself, to connect to God. So I'm trying to get the big picture here. Noach leaves the teva. He offers this sacrifice, this desire to connect to God. And then God says, what does he say? He says, okay, you know, man's going to make mistakes in his youth. But I don't think it's simply that man's going to make mistakes in his youth, but he'll outgrow it. But there's a condition there. What's the condition? It's not simply that he has, okay, he'll overcome his mistakes. There's something else there.
That he desires.
You know, your child, your son, your daughter has great potential, right? I'm saying, you know, they say like, they're not living up to the potential, whatever it is. In other words, they have the desire, they're not there yet, they're making mistakes. But as long as you have the desire there, as long as you have the rutzon, the will, that I want, right? They say in some of these, they say in NCSY Colo, kids go to NCSY Colo. Like that's a program the kids go to Israel, right? So they say, it's about Kolo. You don't leave there necessarily, wanting to learn Torah. You leave there. I mean, some kids do, but some kids they leave there wanting to learn Torah. You know, it's like you have a desire. It's not actualized yet. It's a process, but there's this like desire there that's inbred. And you're gonna make mistakes. You're gonna go up and down and up and down. And in fact, if you think about it, what happens after this whole story? What does Noach do? Noach he plants a vineyard. He gets drunk, and bad things happen. He makes mistakes, but God doesn't destroy him. You know why? Because it's I don't want to say it's fine, but that's what we're doing. We're constantly trying to get more mature, to learn from our mistakes, to realize that we make mistakes in our youth, and maybe as we get older, it's still our youth, and we're still making mistakes. But the key is to have that desire. And I think it's also like how we relate to other people also, like people around us who may make mistakes. But like the key is just make sure they have that desire, and then they'll grow their mistakes. And sometimes we're so focused on this mistake they made. But the key, I think the way Hashem treats us, and the way Hashem treats us is a model for how we should treat other people, right? So we know that there are people who have wonderful intentions, and they're just not mature enough to act properly on those. So the key is don't write off people. God does not write us off. Not simply because Nebuch, I feel bad for you. What can I do? Yetzer, you have a bad Yetzer heart. What can I do? I gotta have some people, serving me. So I gotta keep you around. No. That the key is we hold ourselves to a standard. But the key is make sure that we and the people around us have that desire. That's the foundation. And then we're going to make mistakes. We're going to try. We're going to have a Yetzer Tov, Yetzer Hara. We're constantly fighting back and forth. But as long as you have the desire there, that's the key. Have the desire. Make sure that's ingrained in you. Make sure it's ingrained in your children. And then they'll outgrow it little by little. Okay?
There's sort of an